Psalm number 71 in English. Brothers, brothers, and sisters, wherever you are, they are. These three things are include this fellowship, beautiful time of worshiping Christ and Him crucified alone without compromise. The song speaks about hearing the voice of Jesus saying, "Come unto me and help." Psalm number 71. Comes from Psalms 106. Kwerenge doko mali kuchoke na buku masali mo. Hadi kambi siki. Wambila kusiyake ya wani. Kwa kusiyake ya teje. Was the scripture reading will come from Psalms 106 from verses 1.
Bless ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can issue forth all His praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and He that doeth at all time.
Amen.
O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the greatness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedness. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remember not the matches of thy blessing, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and remembered and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies, there was not one of them left. Then believed they his word. They waited for not for his counsel. 14. But Christ was exceeded in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Also in the camp, and Elon, the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan, and covered the company of Abiram. The fire was kindled in their company, the flame burned up the water. They made a calf in Horeb, and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous work in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore, he said that he would not destroy them, and not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest the breach destroy them. 24. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his words, but murmured in their heart their tents. And hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. He lifted up his hand against them, to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow them also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. They joined themselves also unto prepared, and ate the sacrifices of the dead. Thus they provoked him to anger with their invasions, and the bread in open. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the break was straight. God be all the glory and honor. We sing Psalm number 72, and Brother Austin will praise. We have to hand over the mic and talk like this again so that we can start speaking the parables of God that the Lord has set forth for his own ears. Imba nyimbo namba 72. Nyimbo namba 72. Imeleni kati kuimba tukamaliza toto. Mbale Austin Banda Busa Muga. Mugawa pepera kuti mbarekeni ayambe kutumikira nyimbo namba 72. Oh, God, I can't. Asaya kape jimo turi kaso ovata ko jiki
But I can just as I am. Brother Austin, have a prayer.
Ate mujina langu ya wa Yesu Kristu. Chukule megezani kumasuri kukwezani kifuya ntawe imbele mwati kwa sayati mwa batali. Kuti mukati batema uwanu amti mwa besu wa batali. Chakuti chapa mwamba imbele mwati konsera. Mungu jina mfuleni munga mfunira njiboma uwa katikile mkosa zanu munga sumufunira njifuwaja ake sikifumira kwa ife kumaso kwa mtu kuti alandile mauo kumasema jokila kwa inu amene munga beleza mao njifuwaja ake malakua mao kuti palipe mmoza amena kosa kuta kwa ine mgati inu atate simu mkoga iye siku mungu mwajifuna mle mwajifuwa wina ndi zanu kutika pa siku mwajifuja mbale kena amene akulariki rambuye na mfanae ni mabade la zela munga mufu ni rambuye mwa Yesu Kristu jibuondi ni mungu wekayo ameni mwa mfalili simu ya tu mwa Yesu Kristu abempira amen
amen kumadela kumene muliligo aliesaya nganepa foni bagebo wakoneka katrai kena kake karinka karika kapu choncho mwambaba likantrena kake katari kote pila mau mungu adinaba mene popo nchwa lingana revoice ya kumene kwe sama mveke mungu veka uchenga. Brother Ken, it's your time now. Take off the microphone and preach whatever God speaks. I would rather love to tell each and everybody to mute his phone so that the background noise should not be heard. Accept Christ and the Lord preached where Brother Ken is and the Lilongwe for interpretation.
Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles and look once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And my text today is going to be from verse 10 down to verse 23. And today I want to speak with you about what it is to be founded upon Christ. There are many today who say that they profess Christ and yet are not founded upon Him. There are many preachers out in the world who preach in Christ's name and yet are not founded upon Christ. That's always shocking for some to hear that, because they think just because a man is preaching Christ or mentioning his name that somehow they're the Lord's. They can't bear the thought that they might be listening to a false preacher. But even more importantly, they can't endure the thought that they themselves, in spite of their profession and in spite of their devotion, may not be the Lord's. So this is a vital question that we're considering today, and that is, what is it to be founded upon Christ? Now, we saw last time how God has His church, and that church is called the temple of God, and that church has but one foundation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we saw last time in verses 1 through 9 of this chapter is how the Lord uses ministers as His servants for the calling out of sinners for whom Christ is the foundation. But we are not to exalt one preacher over another. It is Christ alone who must be exalted and glorified. Paul had heard that there were divisions or factions or striving among them over preachers. That right there shows that the focus is on the wrong thing. But They were arguing over different ones, which one was better. But Paul says in verse 5, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers? That word is the word deacons. They're ministers or servants by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man.
Ngeno anti awa adayamba kudzitama ndira kumatsutsana kuti kuda kukozo kukhala mtamingo wamphamvu ningani pakati pa Apolo, pakati pa Kefa, pakati pa Paulo kumalimbikana wanthu kuti amalalikira bwino ndani kumalongena aka 5 iye akaonetsera poyera kuti Paulo ningani nanga Apolo ningani munthu amene mukumtsulayo ningani koposa kuyangʼana Yesu Khristu amene ndiye mwini wa uthenga osati wolalikirayo ayi.
And you see again in verse 7, so then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So right here we see how it is that any are founded upon Christ. It's not the ministers. We're not in the business of converting sinners. That's God's business. We have but one message, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And how the Spirit brings that message home to hearts is the Spirit's business.
Ngeno kwa ife tindira uthenga umodzi ndiwo uthenga wa Yesu Khristu wopachikidwa pa mtanda tingolalikira koma ntchito yotembenuza ndi kusiya anthu ili mʼmanja mwa mzimu woyera.
So in verse 7, Paul sums it up that way, that neither is he that planteth anything or he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Life comes from God.
Ndifo chache poomba mkoto na ndime aka 7 yo imaonetsa poyera kuti munthu amene waukayo sali kanthu kapena wothirirayo sali kanthu koma Mulungu amene akulisa kutandazale moyo umachokera kwa Mulungu.
Now sometimes Paul uses the metaphor here of a farmer planting, sometimes he uses the metaphor of a builder building, but either way the glory belongs unto God.
Paulo analankhula mosiyana siyana, analankhula za kubyala, analankhula za kuthirira, malo ena mpona kuti akulankhula za kumanga, koma zonsezo zimapereka ulemu kwa Yesu Khristu.
That's why Paul says there in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. Think of the husbandman that sends out laborers into his field. They're laboring for that husbandman. They're laboring for God, co-laborers with God. That's an interesting word there, husbandry, because it talks about tilling the field, just like a farmer. He tills the field in order to plant the seed. All of that is God's work through his ministers. Now, having said that, we come now to my text here in verses 10 down to the end of the chapter in verse 23, and we see then how we know those who have been founded upon Christ the foundation. And the first thing of note here in verses 10 and 11 is that if any are founded upon Christ, it is God's grace alone.
Choyambiyo chipereke kushiona mundimeke ya 10:11 yakuti ngati munthu atapezeka mwa Yesu Khristu ndiwonetse chilomo chisomo cha Mulungu.
Paul says there in verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. Paul himself acknowledged that he could not be Christ were it not for the grace of God. Just as any who preach Christ and are sent of Him, they attribute any gifts or usefulness or success as a laborer or builder of the church to the grace of God. First, the grace of God revealed in that preacher. None can preach the grace of God who have not known the grace of God in Christ. And then the grace of God to be able to preach Christ to other needy sinners, and by His grace those be drawn to Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 9 through 11, Paul acknowledges that he is less than the least of the preachers or apostles. You notice there in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles." He doesn't even say, "I was the least." I am the least of the apostles, that am not even meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. I believe that this is exactly how any who are ministers of Christ see themselves, as less than the least. When I consider the path that I was on before it pleased God to reveal Christ in me, I bow in humble adoration to the Lord to think that He should be pleased to call out one such as I am, that today I might stand and preach the glories of Christ. Who am I? But here's what Paul attributes all of this to. He gives the glory to God in verse 10. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." That's all that any of us can say when called upon to testify as to how it is that we know Christ, It is by the grace of God alone. Other than that, I'm nothing but a filthy, wretched sinner. So this is how any are founded upon Christ. It's by the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God in Christ. Now you notice there in verse 10 as well, Paul explains that grace. He said, and his grace which was bestowed upon me, notice, was not in vain. See, this is where many today who say they're preaching Christ are preaching another Jesus, because they preach a grace of God that God really wants to save sinners, but alas, if they don't let him, then it is in vain. That's not the grace of God. God's grace is his unmerited favor. It doesn't depend upon anything in us. God's grace is wholly in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he came and accomplished on behalf of those sinners that he came to save. And God's grace is effectual grace. It means it gets the job done. All that God has purposed to save by grace, he has saved and does save and will save, keeps them saved. And that's not only true in the matter of salvation, but as Paul goes on to say with regard to his ministry in verse 10, he said, I labored more abundantly than they all. In other words, he was given a greater portion of the field to labor by God. When you consider how the Lord used the Apostle Paul in his ministry compared to the other apostles, we see that God blessed him above measure to go and preach the gospel of Christ throughout the world, even more than Peter or John or any of the other apostles, Matthew. Now, Paul's not boasting here, but he's saying if there's anything that has been accomplished, then he says at the end of verse 10, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So you have the grace of God in him, and you've got the grace of God with him.
Paulo, sala dzitamandire yekha na dzikuese kuona ngati iye nguvo sarumwazi zake ayi fani makatendi omweyo akulankhula mawu akuti koma sine mulungu chakukhala ndi ine kulandizati choyamba adali ndi chisomo cha mulungu chachiwiri adali ndi chisomo cha pa mulungu chiwechira mchitiro bwino.
And so in verse 11, he concludes, therefore, whether it were I or they. So he's saying the same thing as he's saying back here in 1 Corinthians 3. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos? But fellow laborers with God, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed.
Amabwera soma ngati jeri kuma kwa verse chapter 3 chwena mati Paulo ndani Apollo ndani ngakuli ngati ine tsono kapena iwowa kotero tidalikira ndi kotero tidakhulupirira.
From time to time I have some ask me, well, if you believe that God has already chosen sinners that he'll save and Christ has already paid their debt, why do you preach? Why don't you just leave things alone? They'll be saved regardless. Well, we preach because God commands us to preach. And we see that it is the means, the declaring of Christ, by which God has purposed that sinners believe on him. It's going to be through the hearing of the gospel. So that order is important. So as God gives grace, so we preach, and so ye, that is the hearers, believe. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, that the preaching of the cross, it's not just preaching, but it's preaching the cross. It's preaching the Christ of the cross, who he is and what he accomplished there to the glory of God. It is to them that perish foolishness, those that are perishing and left to themselves as reprobates. They see no value in the preaching of the cross. But unto us, it says, which are saved. In other words, have been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of God. So any who are founded upon Christ, it is by the grace of God alone, but it's going to be also through the preaching of Christ and him crucified. What we're talking about here, being founded upon Christ, is in one's experience. In other words, Christ being revealed in them. It's going to be through the preaching of Christ. So that's why Paul says, returning here to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God by which Christ was revealed in him, was given unto him, he says, as a wise master builder. If you've ever observed any kind of construction site, even though there are a lot of workers working and busy building, there is a master builder. There is a general contractor who oversees the labors. Now keep this in the context, because Paul is not calling himself a wise master builder to put himself above other laborers, but he's speaking of the work that God had given him to do and the wisdom that is required for the preaching of Christ. Here again, one cannot preach Christ, God's wisdom, unless, first of all, he has been revealed in them as the very wisdom of God. I preached a notion of Christ. I preached about a Jesus before it pleased God to reveal Christ in me. But how I preach him now is according to the wisdom of God that he gave me in revealing Christ in me. So Paul calls himself here in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10 a wise master builder, especially in respect to all of the foolish false teachers that were in the world. Now here again, he says, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth there upon. Now clearly when he says, I've laid the foundation, he's not talking about laying the foundation of salvation. Because verse 11, he clarifies, other foundation can no man lay than that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. When he talks about laying the foundation, he's talking about those places where God had directed him to go preach the gospel, and God, by his grace, has raised up a people who meet together, just like you do there in Malawi, and his people here in Shreveport meet together. A foundation has been laid in each of these respective places through the preaching of the gospel. There's a foundation being laid in Lilongwe. There's a foundation being laid in Kasungu, Chataloma. There's a foundation being laid in Jenda, in different places. There's a foundation that has been laid here in Shreveport, Louisiana, all the way back to
1995. Musaiwale pane maziko yamba ndi Yesu Kristu ngeferi mutenga watu tikamalikira wezi tikumanga maziko machitsanzo angoleola likira amene alalikira kulilongwe akumanga maziko amene alalikira kuwasungu akumanga maziko amene alalikira kwa chenda akumanga maziko amene alalikira kwa Amerika Shiva kuti Rusiana naonso akumanga maziko koma pa maziko kale a Yesu Kristu.
So what we're looking at here in this portion is what it is to be founded upon Christ. It's by the grace of God, but it's going to be through the faithful, wise preaching of Christ, His person and His work. That's how God takes sinners and puts them on the true foundation, which is Christ.
Kumele kote kumanga maziko aba Yesu Kristo ndipo okhulupirira ndipo onse osankhidwa ama okhulupirira uthenga umene omoteromo ndi kumangika pa Yesu Kristo.
But none of us should be lifted up in pride thinking, ah, look what I have built. No, it's not us. We're but laborers and servants of Christ, serving His glory and His cause.
Now
Paul says, for that reason, I've laid the foundation. There were many places where he went to preach the gospel where there had been no gospel witness before. When he wrote to the Romans, the gospel had not been established there in Rome until the Lord brought Paul there to preach the gospel. He laid the foundation there in Rome.
Why
did the Lord direct Paul to go preach the gospel in Rome? It's because he had his elect there. He had those for whom Christ had paid the debt, and now it was necessary that they hear of Christ, not just physical ears, but spiritually, and be brought and laid upon the foundation, who is Christ. Why did he write to the Corinthians? There again, it was a city that was in Greece, that was in another place other than Israel, and yet that's where the Lord directed Paul to preach. Again, because God had His elect there, and those for whom Christ had paid their sin debt and shed His blood, and therefore, like Christ said, them also I must bring.
Israel kwa mwenye uko chisori udeka kudu udaru sana fige kumene ko mchukwe yungu adari so e na mantu osangi kwa mene mungu wada wa sanka ula funika paula vida kala dikire ula mene mungu wada wa sanka kari kare unaonsa kakulipika uteka wabino naka kwele uteka wabino na wosu kutari kwa mwenye.
But here's the thing, where it says in 1 Corinthians 3:10, even though the Lord used Paul to lay the foundation, he acknowledges that the Lord has other laborers who would come and build on that foundation. This is where Paul said that one plants and another waters. Here in Shreveport, I don't know how much longer the Lord will be pleased to give me life to continue to preach the gospel, but I do know that what foundation has been laid, if it pleases God to continue to bless, there'll be others that He'll raise up, perhaps even from among this congregation, to preach Christ. But it's not our church. It belongs to Christ. But the important thing here in verse 10, it says at the end, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. It's not just a matter of just finding somebody to preach. We must be careful that any that build upon the foundation that has been laid truly be preaching Christ, be called of Christ, and declaring Him and His finished work. And I would give the same warning even there in Malawi, because there are different places where God has purposed that the foundation be laid now, but be warned. Here's a warning to any ministers who follow after to be careful how they carry on the work of building on this foundation. Verse 11. We can see then that what is vital is that Christ Himself be exalted, because it says other foundation can no man lay. If a person is not preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work, then he's not building upon that foundation. So there are really two parts to his statement there in verse 11. First is that Christ is the only foundation of the church. That foundation was laid in God's electing grace from eternity. That is in God's purpose and design. It's like an architect that lays out the design. God determined exactly the number of those that should be part of this church. From all the sinners in the world, He chose out those precious stones that should be laid on this foundation.
Verse
So it was laid in God's eternal purpose, but it was laid in Christ's coming to this world and working out that righteousness and then laying down his life as the chief cornerstone of this foundation.
So
when he says no other foundation can any man lay than that is laid already, which is Jesus Christ, he's pointing out the foolishness of man coming along and thinking he's going to build on another foundation. Such a one is a false preacher. But the second part of this statement is to tell us that any church congregation that is not founded upon Christ is not rightly called a church. I know that people use that word lightly. They say, well, this is our church, or there's our church, referring to a denomination or a building. That's not the church. So here again, with the subject of what we're looking at, what it is to be founded upon Christ, it is to be founded upon his righteousness that he's accomplished. It's to be founded upon his redemption, his sanctification, the wisdom of God, his satisfaction before God. That's the foundation. So if you want to know if somebody is founded upon Christ, first of all, they're going to speak of the grace of God alone. Secondly, they're going to speak of having heard the gospel of Christ faithfully preached unto them. But thirdly, they're going to testify to the glory of Christ alone, that he is all of their righteousness and their wisdom and their sanctification and redemption before God. So the fact is that any other foundation is nothing but sinking sand and will most certainly perish. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. We studied this a few weeks ago, but it relates to what we're looking at here. Notice he says, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone. Notice, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. When it says there that no other foundation can be laid, here it's speaking of that foundation that God himself laid in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the tried stone. He was tempted in all things, such as we are, yet without sin. He's the precious cornerstone in that his blood is precious unto his Father. He shed his precious blood that God might be just to justify those sinners he had chosen. He's the sure foundation in that God has accepted his work on behalf of those sinners that God has chosen, and therefore that salvation can never be undone. And here we see what it is to be founded upon Christ then, because it says, he that believeth shall not make haste. God grants that faith to believe on this one on whom the foundation is laid. And when it says shall not make haste, it means won't have to run anywhere else. You've seen pictures of earthquakes where people are in buildings and that building begins to shake, and so they run out into the street, and then the building, in making haste to go somewhere in safety, the building falls on them and kills them. Those that are founded upon Christ by God's grace through the hearing of the preaching of the gospel, by the revealing of Christ in them, and their believing on Christ, will never have to run anywhere else. The Lord says there in Isaiah 28:17 that judgment he would lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away what? The refuge of lies, any other foundation, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Now, we didn't get as far today as what I thought, but we've gotten as far as what the Lord has purposed. But next time, in 1 Corinthians 3, beginning with verse 12, we're going to see how God tests any man's foundation to see what it is of. And if it's not Christ, it shall fall. What
tofaneze maganizo amenewa okudzana ndi mene Mulungu amamangira mpingo wake munthu amapezekera kwati pa Yesu koma sakati abawa tikayangana wana Korinto yomwe 3 ndi maka ya 13 yo kuti tikaone mmene Mulungu amagwetsera ntchito ya munthu imene munthu amadzimangira yekha.
But if God has been pleased to choose any one of us out and had sent his son to pay our sin debt, oh, what a foundation, what a grace to be founded upon Christ. A good hymn to sing would be, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand." Well, I'll turn it back to you, my brother.
To God be the glory, my hope is built on nothing than Jesus' blood and righteousness. They are not trust in the sweetest frame, but the holy lean on Jesus' name. What a good hope.